A few weeks ago, our family moved to a new place after living in the same home for 16 long years. It was a tremendous amount of work. It was stressful, and it's not something that I would like to repeat anytime soon. So obviously, part of the moving process is to pack your belongings and move them to the new place. And while I was packing my stuff, I made a horrendous discovery. Over the years, our garage has become my museum. I found stuff in my garage that was from the Jurassic period. So I put on my Indiana Jones hat and start digging, literally. I think I won't pass the whatever exam that
Maybe.
Music team. Okay, so, I'll work on that. So these are the stuff that I found. Ta-da! Remember that Walkman that Star-Lord was listening to music in the Guardian of the Galaxy? This is the real thing, guys. I got one too, and it's still working. It was a really cool design at the time, and it was the smallest music player, and it plays those awesome but cumbersome cassette tapes. But I remember one of my rich classmates at the time had something better, the professional Walkman. Now, this thing looked really cool in black, very professional indeed. And I was so sure at the time that it was going to sound so good, and I wanted it so badly. So I saved up all my allowance and finally got my own. This is still sitting in my house. But this thing rarely got a lot of playtime before I started looking at the next toy to have. At the time, CD just came out, and I got myself Discman. Woo, yeah. Now, these are some of the things I can actually afford to buy. Now, for those things that I would never be able to afford, I either collect catalogs of them. Now, these are literally taken a few weeks ago. Like cameras, magazines, camera catalogs, hi-fi, watches, and yeah, okay, this is from 1990-something, and for the record, I just threw them away a few weeks ago after in my collection for over 20 years. Now, for the other things I can't afford, I would just buy smaller version of them. Now, here is a red Ferrari made of plastic, but not made in Italy, it's made in Germany, and it is exactly 43 times smaller than the real one. Now, as I was going through my collection of stuff and electronics, I was quite amused and totally enjoyed the whole process of reliving the past. But there was a moment, literally, in the garage, where all of a sudden it dawned on me that I have not been easily satisfied. I see a pattern of repeated upgrading and longing for the next best thing. And I've been chasing after different things in my life to fill a need inside of me. In other words, there was this deep sense of discontent inside of me that I've been trying to fill. This discontinued even after I became a Christian. Let me give you an example. Just 6 months ago, I got this new phone. And it wasn't because my old phone was broken, it was still working just fine, it got a big curved screen, a leather back, a removable battery, all in all, a very nice phone still. And the only reason for getting a new phone is that I simply grew tired of my old phone after using it for 2 years. and I just want a cool-looking phone to ease my upgrade itch. So I kept looking, spent time on the internet, looking at review, and I finally found this phone. It got a cool titanium case and a ceramic back, titanium and ceramic, just like the artificial tooth that I work on every day. How cool is that? Well, did I feel guilty about it? Yeah, a little bit, but I just want something so badly. So, I do exercise some self-control, you know. I patiently wait until it dropped in price from over $1,000 to $460 because no one wanted it. When I first got it, I babied it so much, and I would get upset if there's a tiny scratch on the ceramic back. Now, 6 months later, it is just another phone. And soon enough, it will end up in my museum collection. So what I realized that ever since I was a teenager, I have always been looking for the next best thing. I was never satisfied with what I got. I always want more. And there is this unspeakable urge to satisfy something inside of me, and I cannot tell you what it is. All I know is that I want more than what God has already graciously given me. Perhaps you are also like me, always looking for the next best thing because you are not satisfied with what you have. You are always looking for the next new phone, the next new game to play on your phone, a new Louis Vuitton handbag, a new Canada Goose jacket, because the latest fashion trends calls for it. Even if you're driving a van or SUV, and I know many of us do, because of our family need, you still have a family of four or five, what else can you drive, right? But you still want something more. I mean, why settle on the base model when you can upgrade to that sports package that would include those 20-inch blackened alloy rims and with a tiny, teeny rear spoiler at the back to give you the satisfaction of driving a sports car, even though you're not. And when you see those Porsche 911 Ferrari on the road, don't you wish time and time again that you are that lucky guy that would be driving one of those fancy sports cars? And this kind of discontentment does not just limit to stuff. It spills over to our relationship as well. Maybe you're not content with your family. Maybe you wish you are born to a different parents. You look at your wife, she used to be beautiful. And now she's getting old and grumpy, and you're thinking, this is time for an upgrade. In fact, this will be your second upgrade. Maybe your husband, who used to be handsome and treat you like princess, and now he's losing his hair. He used to be very romantic, and he always remembered your birthday and your anniversary. But now he is fat, and he loves spending time on his computer rather than talking to you. We, as a society, all share the same discontent syndrome. We are always chasing after something because we never seem to be satisfied with what we have, who we are, or our circumstances. Allow me to show you a short video clip.
I've been a photographer for 25 years, with my lens focused on wealth. I noticed that no matter how much people had, they still wanted more. I want to figure out why our obsession with wealth has grown. It seemed to be a shift in the American dream.
I know the names of the Kardashians better than I know the names of my neighbors.
This fictitious lifestyle fuels this sense of inadequacy.
I have the classic Birkin in almost every color.
The bags start $20,000, go up.
I realized wealth was much more than money. It was whatever gave us value. Fame, sex, even plastic surgery for dogs.
It's kind of like the end of Rome. Societies accrue their greatest wealth at the moment that they face death.
If you look great and you have a nice car, I'm all for it. But at the expense of what?
You sell your soul to the devil. You're so hungry for it, you're blinded.
I am on the FBI most wanted list.
All of us are following a toxic dream.
If you think that money will buy you anything and everything, you've never, ever had money.
Dollars, dinero, money is what it takes.
We are living in a culture of discontent. That was a trailer of a documentary. Those people that you saw are not actors or actresses. They are all real people. In our culture, we are constantly bombarded with the message that to be happy and content, we need more things. But less wrinkles, more Botox, better homes, better job, better school, more exotic vacations, but fewer troubles. And we never seem to be able to find true contentment, no matter how hard we try. We are still discontent in most areas of our lives, whether it's our jobs, our marriages, our family, our homes, our possessions, or our circumstances. So we try harder, and the vicious cycle continues. So there are more divorce, more families destroyed, more debt, more lies and deceit. Discontent is dangerous. Jesus said over 2,000 years ago that slice through this problem and expose the root of the discontent problem that we all face. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. What Jesus was telling us is that your heart is where your treasure is. If you treasure in this world, your heart will be in this world. If your treasure is in wanting more stuff, your heart will want more stuff. So the problem lies in where we put our heart, because our heart drives the focus of our whole being. So the questions we are all begging to answer this morning is this: is there something where we can put our heart to so that we can find true contentment, where we'll be satisfied? If there is, where to find contentment in a world of discontent? How do we find contentment in the world of discontent? 60 years after Jesus was born, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church which he founded in a city called Philippi that would give generations of Christians the secret of contentment in a world of discontent. In this letter, Paul addresses the biggest challenge in finding contentment in two areas in our life: in the pursuit of stuff and status, and when things are not going well in our lives. Listen to what Paul has to say. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Hey, Paul, you know you're a very good theologian, but we did not know that you're a good accountant as well. What is all this gain and loss stuff that you're talking about? What exactly had Paul in mind when he said he gained in his life and now everything else he would lose for the sake of Christ? Well, first of all, Paul is a Roman citizen, and that is a big deal back then. It's a very, very big deal, in fact. It gives Paul a wide range of privileges and protections. In addition, Paul is also a Pharisee and highly educated. Listen to these words in Paul's own descriptions earlier in the same letter that he wrote to the Philippians. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. These are all big deals at that time. It gave Paul a lot of power, status, and prestige. Paul used to think that he is pleasing God by prosecuting the church, exterminating all the Christians. But yet, Paul told us that most of these things now, the people at that time would be counted as prized possessions and the right thing to do, he now simply counted them as loss. Why is that? Paul continues, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul is saying to us, guys, you know my credentials. I have spent many, many years to get to where I was before. I was trained in the best school. I've built myself an impressive CV, and all these things used to be important to me. But now, they are worth nothing to me. They are worth nothing to me, because now I have Christ. Do you have any idea how valuable is that to me? I have Christ, and it is the biggest gain I ever need in my life. And I'm writing this letter so you guys would know that as well. I now see my power, my status, and my prestige as garbage compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, Paul is not saying we must renounce everything and consider everything in our lives as garbage. The stuff in our life is not the problem. God has abundantly given us things to enjoy, but the problem has always been how we view them. The problem is in our hearts. What Paul is telling us is that Christ should be our ultimate pursuit if we want to find true contentment. Paul used to find contentment in being a Roman citizen, and now he found contentment in being a kingdom's citizen. Paul used to find contentment in seeing Christians suffer, and now he finds contentment in bringing more people to Christ. Paul redirects his focus in life from a church terminator to a church pioneer. You see, contentment is never an intensity problem, but a directional problem. Let me repeat that again. Contentment is never an intensity problem, but a directional problem. We are capable of pursuing whatever we love or enjoy. We have no problem doing that. It is in our nature to pursue, but it is the direction of our pursuit that is the main issue here. What Paul is telling us here is that true contentment is found when we redirect our relentless pursuit towards Christ. Let me repeat this because this is so important. True contentment is found when we redirect our relentless pursuit towards Christ. I don't know how long you have been a Christian Or maybe today's the first time you've ever heard about this. But how many of us Christians place such a high value of knowing Christ? But Paul is not done yet. Later in the same letter, Paul addressed the second issue of finding contentment when things are not going so well in our lives. Listen to this. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. You may say, hey, Paul, questions over here. How low did it get to you? Listen to how Paul answered that question in his own words in another letter to another church, to the Corinthians. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Wow, Paul, that is another impressive resume, but just not the kind that we expect from someone like you. So how did you stay content in all of these bad situations? So Paul continues in the letter of the Philippians. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secrets of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul learned. He learned how to be content, regardless of his circumstances, no matter how dire they are. It didn't come naturally to him, but it did not happen with a snap of a finger. It is a process, something that he learned from keeping his focus on Christ and walking with Jesus each day. What is Paul's secret of finding contentment in the midst of those dire circumstances? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul's secret in finding a sustaining true contentment is not from his own willpower, but from drawing on the strength of Christ. It is the strength of Christ that sustains Paul in the midst of those horrible circumstances and continues to give him contentment. So simple, but yet what Paul is saying here is revolutionary. This is a breath of fresh air that this world desperately needs. In whatever circumstances, you can be content. This is groundbreaking and counter-modern culture stuff. This has and will continue to turn this world upside down and shape our world. Finding true contentment is possible because we are not relying on our own strengths, but on Christ and Christ alone. What we learn from Paul this morning is this. Do not stop what you're doing. Do not stop your pursuit. Just change the direction of your pursuit towards Christ instead, and you know it is possible because Christ will give you the strength to do it. Your life has been turned around and you can find contentment even if you end up in some very bad and disappointing circumstances simply because of Christ. You see, being content is a deep inner Christian character that will continue to exist even in the worst of circumstances, and in fact, it will sustain you during those bad times through the strength of Christ. It is not the same kind of happiness or excitement when you get that new phone. You know that feeling. When you see that new gadget or the new car, an inner content is not loud. It's quiet. It is peaceful. It does not call attention to itself. But when it touches the deepest part of your heart, it gives you joy and hope that you just cannot explain. My friends, life is full of unexpected circumstances. You can lose your job all of a sudden when you least expect it. It is devastating. You are angry. You are upset. You are sad because you love your job. You are thinking about all the lives that you can bless through your job. But yet it still happens and you still don't know why. Why? But the most ironic thing is that you are still supposed to go on stage to lead worship. And that was the last thing you want to do. You struggle through it, and in the end, you still went onto that stage because you know Christ is still faithful, and you still want to raise up your hand to sing praise to Him and honor Him, and you find strength in Christ to do it. That is contentment in Christ. My friends, you can lose your health all of a sudden. You are upset and you are sad. But yet, it still happens. And you still don't know why. You endure all the tests and diagnosis and the uncertainty of not knowing what is going to happen. And the worst part of it is that chemotherapy that is supposed to save your life. But yet, you find contentment and count your blessings in the simple things in life because you have Christ. A short walk in the park, a simple flower will give you joy that you will still proclaim. God is so beautiful, powerful, and wonderful in my life. You are very weak physically, but yet you find strength to praise and glorify God. You still find the strength to take every opportunity to lead others to Christ because you know He is the source of your strength and contentment, and you want others to gain Christ. And these are not just me talking. I'm not making these stories up. We heard about these real stories all the time. In fact, we hear about these stories right here in our community. I have witnessed regular people just like you and me who has found strength and contentment in places and circumstances where we least expect it. Just like Paul, they did not experience spontaneous transformation. They did not find spontaneous contentment. They have to learn to be content, just like the Apostle Paul. They find the strength that sustains them through the relationship with Christ. Day after day, they keep at it, getting near unto Christ every day. They relentlessly pursue Christ because, just like Paul, they see Christ as the ultimate gain in their lives, and everything else is lost. If there's one thing I can ask you to consider this morning, and that is to change your thinking, to change your orientation from all the stuff and circumstances, and redirect your pursuit towards Christ. True contentment is found when we redirect our relentless pursuit towards Christ. You can choose to be like all those Christians that came before us. Like Paul, like those brothers and sisters that I just mentioned, and go after that everlasting life that will give you joy till eternity. You just need to turn and redirect your pursuit towards Christ and away from the stuff that you used to think that are your treasures. My friends, the choice is yours. You can go back to your daily life and keep looking for those things that will never give you the contentment that you seek every day. And yes, I promise you, you will keep looking. You will keep spending more time longing for the next phone, the next handbag, the next car, the next house, the next relationship, the next marriage, than longer longing for Christ, who will give us the ultimate satisfaction and contentment. We must make that decision to redirect our pursuit of contentment in the direction of Christ. Because we know, naturally, we don't want to go there. But we will find strength in Christ that will allow us to do all things. And this relentless pursuit will change your life, not only because it will give you satisfaction and keep you content, but it will change others' lives around you. You see, finding contentment in Christ is contagious. So instead of allowing the plague to spread, allow the strength of Christ to spread among us. This is why every Sunday, all the ministry teams and staff team and all the servants are working hard to transform this place into a place of worship. This is why every Friday, all the small group leaders serve relentlessly week after week. They are trying to establish a culture of contentment in Christ among us. And it is the strength of Christ that sustains them week after week. Just imagine what your life will be if you continue with the same intensity in pursuing stuff that you love and redirect that same drive towards Christ. You will be captivated by the beauty of Christ, and you will be part of this culture of contentment in Christ. We all experience trials, difficulties, and problems in life that's supposed to make our lives miserable and sad. You can be very upset or angry with the situation, but you can still be content simply because you know God is God, and God is good, and God is still in control no matter what. In the last three Sundays, we learned about the plague of disappointment, anxiety, and forgetfulness. But we, as followers of Christ, we can still be content because we have a Father in heaven who is always good and always faithful. You can be deep in your disappointment, but we can be content because we know the fact that He is good and He is for us. Maybe you are worrying yourself sick, but God promised that it is in the same place that you will find contentment, because He is there to take care of you, and you can cast all your worries on Him. We can be content because we remember that God has done for us in our lives. It is this knowing of the Father that will sustain you and give you satisfaction. My friends, you are here this morning for a reason. For some of you, maybe you're looking for new friends. Maybe you're here because your parents drag you here. Maybe, I don't know, you're here for the snack, or tea, or coffee. I don't know. Or maybe you have been away from your faith for a long time. And this morning, you hear the call of the loving Father. And you are thinking that perhaps you are still craving for that something in your life. And you wonder if you would find it again this morning. Maybe this morning is the first time you have been to church, because you want more than constant upgrade of your possessions and relationships. And you are tired, and you want to find a place where you can find truly rest and find the contentment that have eluded you for so long. If you think you can find satisfaction of stuff, then imagine how content you can be when you experience a Father and a Savior who is more than willing to give you more than you ever wanted. Finding contentment in Christ is the greatest investment choice you would ever make. You will take a loss in all those stuff that you don't need, but you will gain the only thing that you ever gonna need in Jesus Christ. And you will find contentment in every circumstances. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross, but more than that, you were raised from the dead, and now you're at the right hand of God, and you are interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or material possessions? No, we are proclaiming this morning that all these things have been conquered through Christ. For we are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would not be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Church, let's stand. Let's sing this prayer together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, you've all a part. You're the one that guides my heart.
pray. Some of you have been here for the fourth week now. Throughout the series, we've been talking about anxiety, disappointment, and this morning we talk about discontent. And if you feel that the Spirit is speaking to you this morning, if there's a prompting in your heart, and if you have been away from church for a long time, if you have been away from the Christian faith for a long time, and somehow you come, let this be an invitation this morning. What if you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, and this time for real? If this is what you want this morning, this is how you can pray. Just follow me in your heart, and you can say, Lord Jesus, I want you. I invite you to come into my heart. And there will always be a place for you. In fact, why don't you have my whole life? Be my leader. Be my lover. Be my friend. And be my king. In fact, I desire to have you not only in my life, I want to open the door and invite you to come into my family. So will you do that this morning? Will you come into my family? Will you allow me to bring my husband, bring my wife, and bring my children to church? Because I want them to have you as well. And I humbly ask you to take up a permanent place in our family, in our home. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me bless you and let me send you off. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be sent into the world. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that the Lord has commanded you, and He will be with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the end of the worship service. See you next Sunday, the conclusion of the sermon series, The Plague.